eight of our part eight of our mini balance on the fruit of peace. And tonight we're going to talk about it's time to flow in faith. Again, the title sounds kind of just kind of basic, but the truth behind it is really phenomenal. And it's going to get even greater on tonight, because the Lord has really added some things to this particular teaching. And so we learned that we dealt with favor for favor. And we dealt with the fact that the Lord would favor, as we favor his righteous cause, he would then turn and favor us.
Uh-huh.
And we've been learning about the level of favor that God has brought us into. Most of what God has been really, really, I believe, pushing us into is coming into the place of favor where it's just thanking him for prosperity, thanking him for the favor. And we are operating from a place of thanksgiving now. And the Lord is bringing us there to really function from a place of already being filled with his favor and already being in a place where we don't need rescue. But we now he wants to kind of frame it out and again in this balance and really get us to in position to, I mean, truly, consistently flow from this realm, because it is a totally different place here. There's one thing that we live in asking and receiving, and that's one place. But the Lord is revealing that the true Christian, that if we really walk with that, like Jesus did, if we really live by his means, Jesus didn't really ask the Father for too many things that I have ever read. He was always thanking the Father or just speaking what he was filled with. He was filled with all of the Father's means. If you can hear me, all right, just say amen.
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 And so tonight, we know that the definition, we're dealing with the subject of peace, but we are so deep into it that we've come to understand that peace means prosperity. And prosperity, the word prosperity, shalom, translates into favor. And the Lord has been dealing with us about these two. Now, favor, it means to move to favor. One definition for this particular teaching was move to favor by petition. All right. So he, through his rhema, has petitioned us to live in his favor. So he's petitioned us by the rhema, by revealing the word to us the way that he has. There's a petition out for us to come on into this and essentially to flow in it.
Amen.
And we know that the first level of favor is where he's showing pity and he's having mercy and he's giving us the word. We're under favor while the word is coming. And the second dimension of favor usually comes from a place of when we're tapped in and accepted, which means we are fully joined here because of being in the word. We're expiated unto propitiation. And so now through propitiation, we are expiated. And now we have no more shame or guilt. We're in a perfect parallel joining with the Father.
Amen.
And now we open up here the realm of thanksgiving. All right. So now he through rhema has petitioned us. And the word petition means he appealed it. He appealed to us. It's a request. He's asked us to come in. He's pressing, he's urging, he's adjuring us, he's present where it's become importune or an opportunity. He's pleading, he's soliciting. And all of this rhema that we're getting, this is his petition. And the word petition actually means begging. He's really wanting to see us operate from another level. And so tonight we're going to break down understanding the flow. And we're not talking about the flow of undeserved favor. We're not talking about just a flow of his influence. But now he's talking about a flow of favor that I would have to say that is dealing with reflection, manifestation coming forth. And he wants us to tap in, like I said, to that place. And we know it by what we've already learned. It's we tap into it by being in a place where we can authentically give thanksgiving and Amen. Receive what he's already filled us with. So understanding the flow, we pick up in the book of Galatians chapter 2, verses 18 through 21. Paul says, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Mm-hmm. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Now, we all know that the word grace means favor. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, looking into this, I went past this in the first teaching. Don't know how, but thank God for the balance. The word grace, we know, means God's divine influence upon the heart and its reflection on our lives. But this is the actual definition I wrote when this was taught first. And I didn't see it like this. And it was really powerful to go back and then see it. The word grace means, watch this now, thanks for benefits, services, and favors.
That's
so now there's a dimension here where that opens up to us in a different way because of what we know. We know that the Lord is trying to bring us into a place where we're, like I said, thanking him for favor and prosperity. Well, now we can add a couple other words into it, benefits and services. All right. So now the Lord is saying grace itself is thanks, being in a realm of thanksgiving. And it made so much sense because we know we all like to say grace prior to eating. And what we do is we thank him for the food that we're about to eat. We bless it and we ask him to nourish, to make it nourishable for our bodies, make it healthy, take out any impurities. But mostly it's a prayer of thanksgiving. And the Lord made me understand something, that if you're in the place of grace and you're truly connected in the place of joining, then you ought to be saying thankful for prosperity and favor the same way that we're thankful for the food that we're about to eat.
Amen.
It's in front of us. The Lord's saying it's the same thing. That when you're in the true place of peace and the true place of the joining, your level of grace that you're on should be a place of thanksgiving, just like prophetess said and prophesied that our ministry would be built upon thanksgiving. Now, you know, and I know, we can't just say, thank you, God. There have been times that I said as a Christian, thank you, God, for things that I really don't believe are really going to come. But I was taught to thank him. I was taught to give him thanks anyway. But it really sometimes, I don't know about you, you might be that Christian that excelled way beyond me. But sometimes my thanksgiving felt forced. It felt like I was forcing it. And in my thanksgiving, I felt like I was trying to make God do something, trap God into doing something, because my faith, quote unquote, is in a place where I'm thanking him already. Not that I necessarily believed it. Not that I was necessarily in a place of authenticity to the thanksgiving. But now we've learned that through the joining, that we're in a dimension because of propitiation, we're in a dimension where we can open our mouths with a mind that matches what's coming out of our mouth.
Amen.
We know that propitiation does become vision, and it does open us up to saying thank you because we can actually see it in the spirit. We can feel it in the spirit that we're in the right place just to say thank you for prosperity.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you for faith.
Amen. Amen.
So now
amen.
I find out something here in verse 21. I do not frustrate, or the word frustrate we know means to nullify or cancel out. We actually don't only cancel out God's divine influence upon our hearts. We cancel out that reflection place too. When we can't authentically thank God because our minds are in a place joined to the Father, we are falling from the place of the second level of grace that we learned about. We fall from the second level of grace. We nullify because we're not in a place to, we nullify benefits, services, and favors that are tangible. that we need, that we want to see come into our lives to live better lives, to live the life and life more abundantly. We nullify that. Paul said, I do not nullify the grace of God. So our being able to authentically thank him, we nullify out. We don't just nullify what we knew as grace, but we nullify the ability to thank him and receive. Is anyone following me?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes.
And that's, we break the flow. But don't worry, we got some solutions for this here. So it also means a bounty and the token of proof, all right? If we move in our own righteousness, or we get into the place where we fall from that place of propitiation, or the place where we have been fully joined, that place where you feel really confident saying thank you for favor, thank you for prosperity, we actually do fall from the place of receiving. But do we fall from grace itself? The answer is no. I'm going to say that right off the spot, right off the bat. But watch this. Watch where we fall from. In the book of Ephesians, all right, we also see that the fourth definition of grace, it means thanks for benefits, services, and favors. So we learn that the Lord wants us without spot or wrinkle, if you remember that teaching. All right, he wants us without Amen. Spot or wrinkle. In fact, I'll read it to you in Ephesians 5, 25 and 27. Husbands, love your wives. And this is going to help some of you to understand it a little bit better. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The word spot means to fall away from favor. The word wrinkle means to draw rescue to oneself. So when we are not in a place where favor already is, it's considered a spot.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have to draw rescue to ourselves, it's considered a wrinkle. We ought to be living, or where the Lord is bringing us and he's causing us to come into the church. I would call it the Church of Philadelphia effect. The perfect church is a church that's already full of his favor. The Philadelphia church, that perfect church, is one that does not need to draw rescue to himself, but already walks in rescue. Somebody say amen if you hear me.
Amen. Amen.
So now, when you're walking without spot or wrinkle, you're in a dimension really now of just thanking him like Jesus did. Like when Jesus said, Father, I thank you that you always hear me when I pray. Jesus would just say, thank you for this. Or Jesus would just call it forth from out of his own being because he was full of the means of the Father. And so he would then just call it forth. He would not have to ask for this or ask for that. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. That is a level there, but he's ultimately bringing us to a place where we live by thanksgiving, where we live by thanking him for what he's already put on the inside of us. And this, just by thanks, is a level of grace that he wants us to come into. He wants us flowing from thanks for benefits. Thank you for your services. Thank you for your favors. That's Amen. The level he wants to bring us to. He wants to break the monotony of not understanding what we've got on the inside of us. Jesus said, he that eats me will live by me. And this is where he wants us to live. This is how he lived, by thanking the Father, or just calling forth from out of his own being what was already in him. All right, so here we go. All right. So now, in other words, we should be in a place of being full of favor, and no need of rescue. This is the place in which the Lord is drawing us to. When we aren't in a place of authentic thanksgiving for the favor and prosperity, the benefits and services, we essentially have frustrated or nullified his favor. It's supposed to be like giving thanks, like I said, and saying grace prior to eating. The meal we give thanks for is right in front of us. Well, so is his prosperity. Remember, we learned it over there in Proverbs, I believe, chapter 13. There is much food in the tillage of the poor. But for want of judgment, it's destroyed, or it's destroyed for want of judgment. And that's the same type thing that you're hearing right now. So now, well, his prosperity and his favor is right in front of us when we are in the place of his peace. We only need to merely thank him for what he has already provided. Let me give you another look at how the flow truly works. All right, here we go. Another look at how this thing really works here. When we gather our daily bread fragments, like he's called us to do, our daily unleavened bread fragments, and we are nourished in those things, and boy, that word just totally, it just frees us with an expiating force. It propitiates our minds, and man, it assures us that we are connected with God. Every time we eat it, I can tell you today was a day where I really didn't feel like eating the bread. I really didn't. I really didn't feel like getting into fellowship, but boy, I couldn't. Once I heard, I believe Elder Allison, I heard Mom, and I heard them, and we got into the word together, and man, it just triggered, and all of a sudden I started eating, and boy, it nourished powerfully, all right? And it says here, now watch this, look at how the flow really is. Look at what happens. And in Mark chapter 2, verses 3 through 9, and it says, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Verse number 9. Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? Bless all right. You. This is really powerful here. This is how the flow really works. I used to teach this from a standpoint of saying, and it was true. It was still a good revelation, but the Lord really put it on steroids tonight. Earlier this morning, he said, Todd, what do you see here? What I said, Lord, I've always seen that if I'm forgiven of my sins, I'm also healed. He said, that's true. He said, that is true. He said, but the reason behind it, he said, it's whatever, if I say to the sick of the palsy, if I say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins, you know why his sins were forgiven? It's because when Jesus opened his mouth, he cleaned him with whatever he said.
Amen.
He washed away because it came out of his mouth. And the Lord says to his disciples, the words that I have spoken unto you have made you clean. The man, and anytime the word, every time we eat a daily bread fragment, we are automatically clean from our sins. Amen. Now watch what also comes. The prosperity came with it. He said, arise and take up thy bed and walk. Is it easier rather for me to say that or say thy sin? In other words, whatever I say is going to produce the same exact results. It's going to clean him, expiate you. It's going to propitiate you. It's going to forgive you of your sins because you're hearing me, and I'm going to release prosperity in any way you need it.
Amen, God.
It's
Amen,
coming Lord. Together, praise God. It flows together. It's happening together. This is the flow. This is why we can just merely say thank you. Why? Because after I eat a fragment, what's a fragment? The fragment is whatever I heard him say. The ooh and the ah in the midst of the message that broke, that just broke through my soul and blessed me on another level. I go back and I eat that. And boy, when I'm nourished in that, I'm being favored by God. And I'm also in the position for absolute prosperity. This is the flow he wants us under. Just eat the things in which I've said. Eat what I'm saying. You'll be expiated.
Hallelujah, Lord.
And in your expiation, you'll be aligned for your prosperity. In whatever area you need it, whether it's finance or physical, whatever you need, I will be there. He said, what is it easier to say this to the sick of the palsy? Your sins be forgiven? Or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. Watch what he says here. So now here's your note. So we need to understand that when the Lord says anything, it does two things. It is the power to forgive and the power to prosper. They're both there. This is why we eat and get nourished, as I said, with the daily bread fragments. It expiates under propitiation, or propitiates under expiate, or by way of expiation, and it manifests whatever prosperity and favor we may need. It truly narrates the day, everyone. It truly does. It narrates the day that we're in. It truly reveals finished works. Fragments are personal rhemas. They're the personal rhemas that we hear. They are the personal rhemas that we hear within the rhema. They are truly what the Lord is saying. This is where the true flow of favor is found, everyone. Please hear that. This is where the true flow of favor is found. That if you are listening and, you're being nourished in what he said, please understand, like that lame man. He said, what is easier, to say this or to say that? Because they're both going to carry the same results. I'm going to forgive his sins with what I say. I'm going to wash him. I'm going to expiate. And I'm going to send forth prosperity.
Amen, Lord God.
So Amen. When we're nourished up in what his grace unto us, I'm telling you, when we're nourished up, his grace unto us will shift from influence unto reflection by way of thanksgiving. Now, if we fall, do we really fall from favor? Let me show you how that works. If we're not in an authentic place where we can say thank you because we're a little lethargic, or we're just not in the right place, the right mindset, or we're being overrun with cares and problems and stuff, do we really fall from favor? The answer to that, as I said, is no. Let me show you what happens. It says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Understand this. Watch this now. You say, okay, but where am I sinning? Well, the Bible says that anything that's not of faith is sin. If at one time you were nourished into a place of thanksgiving, and you declined or missed the mark from that place, in essence, it's sin, because your faith was built up to be thankful and just receive from there. And so when you miss the mark of being there, you do need your advocate. You need Jesus to be your advocate. But do you fall from favor? No, you just go back to what we learned is the first level. You go back to the first level of favor, to where pity and mercy comes by way of the rhema to rebuild you up again, still under favor, still under grace, build you back up again unto the propitiation that he's become for you. And now you're back in a place where you can thank him. But you fall from the second level. Remember, he said, excuse me, he said he's come to be grace for grace. There's two levels. He's here. If you read John 1, he's come to give us grace for grace. First level of grace he gives unto us is mercy, pity, in the way of the rhema word, which then builds us up, brings us into a place of acceptance, And my goodness, we are just in a place of just flowing in thanksgiving and receiving prosperity from there. But you don't fall from grace. Grace is big. It's bigger than what you realize. You don't fall from grace. You don't fall from his favor. You just transcend to level one, to be honest with you. And you go back to this, and then he's your advocate, praise God. That's who he is. He is your advocate. And him being your advocate, he goes in between and he builds you up. He tells the Father, don't worry about it. I'll get Todd back on track. I got this, Daddy. He'll be all right. He's coming. And the Father stays right there, joined, never moving his position. And Jesus says, let me just get him retweaked. I'll minister my word to him, and I'll go ahead and release my expiating power and get him right back into the flow of thanksgiving to the level that he's supposed to be on. But you don't fall from his grace. You don't fall from his favor. He made grace big enough to say, okay, in case they do sin, I still advocate them right back to where they belong. Hallelujah. And I'll bring them right back to where they should be so they can just tell you, Father, thank you. Thank you again. And I'll fully join them and keep them joined. They'll never fall from your grace. They'll never fall from your favor. So the answer is, in essence, no, we don't. We just move that back to that first level, that grace, to get to the next grace that he has for us, reflection. All right? So now it's immediate. Now listen, it becomes immediate. You need to understand, once you are fully propitiated, you are immediately in the position for thanksgiving, for prosperity and tangible favor again. Open your mouth wide and begin to thank him for it, because if he propitiated you, he's also blessed you, oh God, because they travel at the same time, even as is on the scene. And that's when you open your mouth and immediately you distance yourself from your problem that's in the physical realm. You distance yourself from it. You start to thank him for what he is able and what he is doing for you. Instantly, you don't wait. Time does not mean anything here. It's the fact that he already did it that means everything here.
Hallelujah.
He establishes you. And this keeps you what? In what? The flow of favor. You stay in the flow of this thing. You don't let a bad moment break you out from the flow of God's favor. That's what Jesus did, and that's what he died for. Boy, oh boy, I give him praise for this.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I give him praise for this. I remember I was up against it. I was sharing with Kurt earlier. I was up against it, man. And I woke up at like 3 a.m. about a week and a half ago. And I needed the Lord to give me, I needed to him to open the door, because I've been in transition, me and my family. And I needed him to open the door. And I woke up at 3 a.m. And I said, Lord, I don't feel thanksgiving right now on me. I don't feel it. I'm not there. I was there earlier. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not feeling it. I got to be honest with you. I don't feel right. And then he said to me, he said, but Todd, he said, understand, you have an advocate. I'm here as your advocate. I am Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he said to me, let me build you up again. Hear my word again. He said, let me build you, hear my word. And he began to advocate for me, man. And all of a sudden, he built me up instantly. And instantly he said, open your mouth now and thank me for prosperity and for faith.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
And I opened my mouth and I began to thank him. And my goodness, later on that morning, I got a call and I got the answer that I needed. And I got the door open that I needed open. And man, it just came wide open. And man, he narrated the day completely different. And I experienced grace for grace. And the flow, and how to stay in the flow of it. Just be honest with yourself and be honest with yourself. I'm not here to thank you. I'm not here. And then he said, okay, I'm here. I'll advocate for you. I'll talk to the Father. Let him know you'll be right back. And I'll minister my word. I'll release. Let me say a thing unto you. And if I say it, your sins are forgiven and your prosperity is returned. It's that easy.
Jesus.
That's the flow of it. Boy, oh boy. See, it is the acceptable year of the Lord, as we've been saying. It's acceptable, meaning he will sustain us. He's going to sustain us where? In everything he's teaching us. My goodness, you're going to be sustained in the place of thanksgiving. He's calling us unto himself, just like he said. He's making us his own. This is grace unto us. This year, he will establish a flow in us. I'm telling you, he said, I'm making you my own. Paul said here, if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. This is why grace and favor wasn't operating on the level it should have been in our lives, because we have been trying to do things and trying to build things out. We've been trying so difficult. It's been so difficult at times, and we've been trying so hard in the midst of difficulty. And we just don't know how to just eat, be nourished, be propitiated, lift our hands unto thanksgiving. And that is as simple as that. I go back into that old trying thing. I mess up. And it says like this in Galatians 2, 17 through 21. And I'm closing it down. But listen to this in the Message Bible. It says, have some of you noticed that we are not yet perfect? No great surprise, right? And are you ready to make the accusation that since people like me who go through Christ in order to get things right with God aren't perfectly virtuous, Christ must therefore be an accessory to sin? That accusation is frivolous. If I was trying to be good, I would be rebuilding the same old barn that I tore down. I would be acting as a pretender. And that has been our issue right there. Sometimes we act as pretenders. That thing stuck out to me. Sometimes we are acting like we really are in thanksgiving, but we're really not. We're acting as pretenders. We're saying thank you because it's the biblical thing to do. We are pretenders. No, stop that foolishness. You know if you're in the mindset of being thankful unto God. Don't be a pretender. It says here, what actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a lawman so that I could be God's man. Mm-hmm. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It's no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I am no longer driven to impress God. That's key. That's key. What impresses God is your reliance upon Jesus to propitiate you and keep you propitiated. Keep his expiating force on you to keep shame and guilt up off of you so you feel like you are fully joined unto the Father. That's what impresses God, that you stay eating this rhema and stay in a position of constant thanksgiving. So often when we get caught in a bind or in a situation that we can't break out of, we too become driven to please and impress him. This disconnects people. It disconnects us from the place of being really joined unto him. We need to learn through Christ to flow with Christ. Stop trying to change what only Christ himself can change and will change. We need to stay nourished unto propitiation and release our thanksgiving for his benefits, services, prosperity, and favor. We need to stay nourished unto propitiation. Release our thanksgiving. Can I put a word in front of that? And release our authentic thanksgiving for his benefits, services, prosperity, and favor. Hearing this particular word is Christ. This is him right now, bearing us up and calling us unto himself so that he might sustain us. This and every rhema word hereafter is the manifest acceptable year of the Lord. The writer then goes on to say, Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm not going back on that. Never looking back, never going back. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going back on that. He died for me to be propitiated, joined unto my Father. I'm not going back on that. That's how I live now. So there are so many times that I can say, truly, I did try so hard to succeed at things that God wanted me to do. and in things in my marriage, things in my life. I've tried so hard. And in doing so, I've looked back and I have gone back. So I did realize and do realize again, I was nullifying grace. I understand I was nullifying the place where I could live in just thanksgiving and watch manifestation, watch the hard times fall away, watch the mountains crumble that are before me. If I just stay right there, stop nullifying the place where I could open up and say, thank you. So the writer says here, he's not going back. He's not on trying to live righteously before God on his own. And the note was, we need to let Christ be Christ in us in 2023, that the power of his reign will set us free and deliver and favor us in the way he intended to. Then the writer goes on to say here, is it not clear to you that to go back to that old rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion would be an abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God? I refuse to do that. To repudiate God's grace. If a living relationship with God could come by rule keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. Bottom line is, don't repudiate the grace of God that you just learned about. Don't repudiate it. What does repudiate mean? It means this: don't reject it, don't renounce it, don't abandon it, don't give up on it, don't forswear, don't turn your back on it. Mostly don't have nothing to do with it. Stay in a place of authenticity where you're in the place where propitiation truly is your vision. Now persuasion can come out of your mouth and become a force by just thanking him for his benefits, services, prosperity, and favors. Don't mess up that grace. Don't mess up that dimension. But if you do, that first level is waiting there for you. Mercy and pity to fill you with his word again and bring you back onto that second dimension of grace. That's how the flow stays on. But don't nullify it. Don't not walk away from tonight's meeting without considering and meditating on this dimension, to where you now can look to heaven and just say, Lord, I thank you that you always hear me. All of a sudden, your miracle, your manifestation, your breakthrough, it's there before you. Your prosperity will come. But don't repudiate the flow. See, it's never favor leaving us. It's us leaving favor. Mm-hmm. We turn our backs on it. We reject it. We give up on it. We abandon it. Remember, the fathers forever placated and in a perfect peace, and in perfect peace concerning us. We really need to stay in a place of total reliance upon Christ for salvation, which is the perfect and most authentic place of our faith, which in turn authenticates our peace with God. So I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay here. I thank him for the first level, but boy, I love it when he pushes me to the second. And I can just open my mouth with this assurity that this Thanksgiving is going to cause manifestation. It's going to cause the breakthrough. And I'm so full of this word. I'm so full. And when I open my mouth and I begin to thank him, I just know stuff is going on all around me. Oh. I know it's happening. It's just like saying grace. When I was a young boy, my mom taught me how to say grace. Our grace was, listen to the rhema in this. God is good. God is great. Let us thank him for our food. By his hands, we all are fed. Watch this. Thank you, Lord, for our daily bread. Think about that. That simple prayer came with some thunder. Come on, God is good. God is grace. Lord, we thank you for our food. By your hands, we are. Lord, we thank you. I'm thanking him as a child for the food that's in front of me. Well, now as a grown man, I thank him for things that my ocular vision cannot see, but yet they're right in front of me.
Yes, Lord.
I'm thanking him. I'm saying grace. Thanking him for what's in front of me. Prosperity, favor, benefits, services. And boy, that propitiation, I see the meal spread out before me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and everything I need is coming.
Hallelujah.
It's already in my tillage, praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
So this is the flow. So if you lose second level, come on, go back to the first just for a moment. Let them build you. And boy, launch out as soon as you recognize propitiation has set in. Launch out with thanksgiving. Get back on it and keep the flow going.
Hallelujah, God.
This is our year, praise God. And nothing is going to stop it. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's all I got for you guys tonight. That's all I have for you. That's all I have for you. But be blessed. I pray, man, meditate on this word. I mean, meditate on it. Father, we thank you for what you have poured out through your servant tonight, through Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for the utterance that you have given concerning this. We thank you for clarity. We thank you for making it super easy to understand. Oh, Rhema has simplified how to flow in your grace. And we give you praise for it, how to flow in your constant favor that's in and on our lives. We don't ever have to miss a beat again. We give you praise for it, Jesus. We give you glory for it, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you glory. So we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you tonight for everything you have done. And we thank you tonight. And I thank you tonight for prosperity and for favor being over everyone on this line tonight. In Jesus' name. We have a few comments coming in. Elder Kurt said, amen, just speak, Lord. Elder Donna said, bless God, hallelujah. Oh, Jay says, amen. Javon says, hallelujah to the Lamb of God, our advocate. Amen. Blanche has with the hands lifted. Blanche has holy hands lifted up. And Javon says, oh, taste and see the Lord. You better believe it. That's good. They taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Psalms 34 and 8. That's so true. Taste and see.
Amen.
Be nourished, man, and be filled with absolute nourish to the brim, knowing that your prosperity, your favor is here because of the peace that he's established in you. Amen. God bless you guys. If you have a seed you want to sow, you